Hello and welcome to Ask Mike Radio. My name is Travis, Marine Corps veteran and your host. Ask Mike Radio is co-produced with Sinister One Productions. What's your podcast doing? I want to thank my sponsors, TNT Pin Company, Outright.ai, and my supporters, Kason Shaving Company, Exceptional Parent Magazine, and Fight Camp. Be your strongest combination. Speaking of combinations, I'm sitting there. I'm in Military Creator Con in Arlington, Texas in April, and I'm doing my thing, thinking my due, and Mar-a-Lago hands me this package that says Tactical Snacks. I'm like, well, what is this? Let's try this out. And I open them up, and I was addicted. Not too sweet, not too gummy. I mean, they were just right. Like I was Goldilocks. And so I got a chance to meet the founder of Tactical Snacks, Greg Potapinko, who's with me right now. He's going to talk to me about his service in the military, Military Creator Con, his business ventures, all that. Greg, welcome to the show. I'm so happy to have you here.
Hi, Travis. Thank you for the invitation, and I'm glad to reconnect. Well, I guess 3 months after
Yeah.
the Military Creator Con show. I'm glad we were able to set it up.
Absolutely, absolutely. It was a great time. And, thank you for your support. What did you think about Military Creator Con while we're on the subject?
I felt like it was an event that, just learning a little bit about the backstory. It started as a meetup during like a bigger influencer event that wasn't, I guess, military connected, and now it's standing on its own 2 feet and it's got its own audience. So I think it was pretty well put together for like the first like big boy pants
Yeah.
event that they were able to put on. And I hear they're growing for next year in a bigger and better locations. So yeah, I always love to see veteran related events gain momentum and bring people together, because that's what it's all about.
Absolutely. Ladies and gentlemen, Canada does have a very storied history in World War One, World War Two, and other conflicts. And so it's always a surprise when people think, well, Canada served? Like, yeah, they actually did. A lot, by the way. Greg, what did you do in the Canadian Army, and how did you come to join the Canadian military?
So yeah, I've served in the Canadian Army as a reservist in the reserve force since 2000 until 2023. So I did 23 years in the reserves. Started as a private and retired as a warrant officer. So kind of rose through the ranks. Through How did I join? It was through a high school program. We had a kind of co-op program in high school where you could basically get some school credits and serve in the military. And I think they were selling it as a more of a summer term thing, which I think didn't produce good quality candidates, because it was kind of like a I'll do the summer and I'm out type of person. So I applied through that program. I actually didn't get the school co-op. I ended up being contacted a year after, actually after I graduated high school already, but I still went in and I stayed on throughout my time in university, because it was basically guaranteed employment throughout the year and all the summers when you do all the courses and stuff. And then stayed on after. And next thing you know, it's been 23 years. So,
What did you do, or what are you doing in the Canadian military?
yeah. So, I was in an infantry unit called the 48 Highlanders of Canada, and basically just a light infantry unit. We did all the light infantry shit. So, do it, do you want to expand more, or
No, that's fine. That's fine.
okay, yeah.
I would be interested. Canada is a big place. Which province or state in Canada were you from, or did you serve out of? Because I'm right below Montreal or Quebec, excuse me.
Okay.
And when I go to northern Vermont or New Hampshire or Maine, about 50 miles before the Canadian border, all of a sudden I see French, signs in French and people speaking French. And the other day when I was in, last month when I was in Vermont, I was a mile from the Canadian border, and Canadians would come over and go to this place to hang out for the weekend, and it was just like one big happy family. So I'm always curious because, that's a very different experience than someone say in Ottawa or, Vancouver.
I'm based in Toronto, so this is in Ontario. It's the English speaking part. I do enjoy going to Quebec, and also I am on the Epic Military Pass with Vail Resorts, so that actually calls for an annual trip to Vermont because they have some properties there that take the military pass, and it's extended to the Allied militaries, the Brits, the Canadians, the Australians as well, which is like a great deal for anybody who's into skiing or snowboarding, by the way. But I'm an English speaking part, and the unit was based in downtown Toronto. It's got a rich history, founded by a Scottish community here 125 years ago. So
All right, last couple of questions about Toronto. Maple Leafs.
I mean, I'm not a huge fan of the local teams, but they do exist. The Leafs, the Jays, and the Raptors. So
And the Argonauts, the CFL team.
that's right. Yeah. And we just hosted the World Cup too. And Canada did okay.
It was a good time. It's a good time. So again, ladies and gentlemen, I'm gonna set the stage. I'm working the registration booth at Military Creator Con in Arlington, Texas, and we're seeing all the VIPs come through. And there's a box of little green baggies, like you get out of a vending machine or from a gas station, just like that. And it said tactical snacks. And I'm like, okay, I've heard of tactical sunglasses, tactical pens, tactical this, tactical toilet paper, but not tactical snacks. And I tried them, and the first impression was they weren't too sweet, Greg. It didn't taste like candy, but it was also very like rewarding to get through the bag. And then I'm like, okay, I gotta get more of this stuff. So of all the things that veterans can get into, it always amazes me different things that veterans do get into and work on. What led you to say, you know what, we need some like better snacks for us to eat when we're being active? What caused that?
Well, it's actually a combination of factors, but it's a great question. I'm glad you asked it. So, you probably remember when you're in the military and you're going through like a boring or difficult or sucky situation, and usually you can't really relax or go have a cigarette if you're a smoker or whatever. But it's raining, you're wet, you're tired, you haven't slept in a while, and then you're just miserable. Somebody breaks out a bag of sour worms or something and passes it around, and it immediately kind of elevates the situation and boosts morale a little bit. So that was kind of something that I had in the back of my mind. When I also thought, look, there's all these better for you snacks being made. There's the whole like low sugar movement going on. People are trying to eat more healthy in general, but no brands are really speaking to like our community. There's nothing really being made that's super healthy in the that's talking to the veterans, the first responders. And I thought, why not? And I went to Reddit and looked at some threads about like what is the best range snack, what's the best field snack, what's the best patrol snack from like cops and the military. And consistently in the top three or five, it was gummy candy. There was like other things like jerky and nuts and protein bars. And then I figured, well, I'm a pretty healthy eater, I'm pretty fit, and I want to do something to benefit the community that gave me so much, and I want to kind of give back. So that's why I thought it would be a good product to make. And the name was kind of a bit of a joke, but it was also almost like a Reddit meme, tactical snacks. But I felt like, why be so serious? I don't want to be this like very kind of serious I'm a healthy food brand. That's more just, like a little bit of self-irony, a little bit of the military humor type stuff where we always make fun of each other just to kind of also boost morale. So that's why I wanted to go into making something healthy and fun for the community.
That's the thing I got. Some of these snacks you get them, the healthy snacks from like REI and those other stores, and it's very serious, no this, no that, but all good for you. And it's like, well, there's no fun there. These snacks didn't take themselves too seriously, and it was fun. It's like a little kid, and I don't know about you, Greg, but in the Marine Corps, we'd throw hands over the Tootsie Rolls and the MREs. I mean, we'd go heavy for those. So it's a very important part of the military experience. But I thought they were fun.
No, thank you. That's exactly the point. And yeah, we've had the same experience with our, they're called IMPs, that have Skittles or M&Ms or some other like brands in there, and we'll trade them. And when we tr work with American forces, we swap MREs for IMPs and just kind of see, what's everybody got. The Tabasco sauce was
Yes.
one of the hottest commodities there, passing that around, but we didn't have those at the time. But no, that's exactly like it's a relatable thing that even though like we're kind of on each respective side of the border, we can immediately connect over that fact, right? So like you bring a story and I immediately resonate with it, and I think that's the intent of like having some sort of a community feeling built around the brand. So it's not just a product that has only, 3 grams of sugar and 80% less calories than the leading brand and doesn't use any, corn syrup or stuff that you cannot pronounce or red dye number five. You know what I mean? So, that's why.
Now I did look at the calorie count. I'm like, okay, because I mean, can I make a confession, Greg? I was to bag number five before I looked at the actual wrapper, because I got with Julie and Ash and a couple others, and I nabbed their I took their bags out of their gift bags. I figured they wouldn't miss them that much. But I look at the nutrition information. I'm like, wow, there's not that much sugar. And there's not that many calories. And then, okay, there's not a lot of like the, I'm used to saying like with Skittles, it's all these dyes and other things. And it's really like basic. And I'm curious, how did you formulate? I mean, you talked about it, right? But you really had to work to get the formula right so it would taste good and also, ship and be good. And that had to take some work to do.
It did take quite a bit of like work finding the right partner. Like I'm not a food scientist, I'm not a flavorist, don't really have much experience in the food industry. Like I have experience in e-commerce and digital marketing, and we can maybe dive into that
No, we're
in a
going
minute.
to.
But yeah, essentially it was finding the right partners who had the experience building similar products for other brands and working with them, just kind of outlining the requirements and saying what I want to see, what I don't want to see. It was more on like what I don't want to see in there. Like my criteria was like simple, short list of ingredients, nothing that people cannot pronounce, and kind of like low sugar, lower calorie, and amazing flavor and taste. And that was really kind of the left and right arc that I've given them, and they were able to kind of knock it out of the park because they were already experienced in making these types of products. And then similar process I repeated when we launched our protein energy cookie, which you haven't sampled at the show, which is actually we released it March of this year, so it was very new at the time on the show. But yeah, it was a similar process, and it also took almost a year of trial and error. Just like we make a sample, try it. No, like we got to make it less moist. No, we got to make it more dry. No, we got to make it less sweet, and this and that, all in all, 9, 10, probably a dozen rounds. And it's obviously time and money, but I wanted something that I would feel good standing behind, and also that people would try once and then want to buy again, not just try once and then forget about it.
Well, one of the things you did at Military Career Con was talk about, how this came together and how you marketed it. And then as I'm, preparing to do the show and getting to know you, I realize there's a whole different side of you with H-Hour, marketing, H-Hour Ventures. So it's like, okay, he must have used a lot of what he, did with H-Hour to market and move Tactical Snacks forward. So yeah, can you tell me about H-Hour marketing, how that all works?
So essentially, when I was in my 20s, I kind of graduated from university. I was still very active in the military, and basically, was about to start a family, and I realized, life in Toronto isn't really ch cheap. It's not a inexpensive city, and kind of starting to look around, and obviously trying to like see how could I elevate my income? So looking for jobs, I was studying, to basically I was trying to go into the finance world deeper because I had a finance degree and I was trying to like go down into we call it Bay Street. It's basically the Canadian Wall Street. And I stumbled into like a business opportunity on the internet in affiliate marketing, and basically because I had experience building websites for fun as a teenager, I figured I could give this online marketing thing a go. So around 2007, I started dabbling in online marketing, experimenting with Google Ads and building websites, and after initial period where like I lost a bunch of money and like I didn't know what I was doing, I found some success, and slowly, like like 2008, I made like $10,000 extra on the side, and then next year I made like 50 grand, and then a couple of years later I started making like a substantial amount of money just doing this online marketing, basically advertising other people's products for a commission or for a retainer. And eventually in 2011, I left my civilian job. I still stayed on in the military because, I was, I loved it. At
Yeah.
this point, it wasn't any more for extra income or anything. It was literally just, service and mission and the guys that I was serving with. And I started building my performance marketing agency, and I did it for, I call it HR marketing, which was kind of an interesting, name, but I did it for over a decade, basically acting as a marketer for various brands, and I worked with some small brands and even as like a Fortune 500 brands, mostly in lead generation space, in the financial and home services space, as well as in software apps and like a PC software. Then that kind of started to decline as Shopify and e-commerce and Amazon started to kind of become more and more well known. So I slowly started pivoting into e-commerce and trying to straddle the two worlds of running this lead generation affiliate agency and trying to launch my own brand. So the first like small success that I had in e-commerce was actually a firearms maintenance brand. It was probably around 2018, 2019, and kind of took off. We started like exhibiting at SHOT Show in Vegas and
Oh,
got
wow.
featured. Yeah, I got featured in Guns and Ammo magazine organically and started making connections with gun influencers and 2A YouTubers and veteran influencers, obviously through the firearms space. So that business also kind of failed during COVID, but because I had this audience built up of like competitive shooters and veterans and cops and stuff, I thought like I need to continue to do something with it. And I tried to launch a supplement brand, which also sort of didn't take off. And eventually that led me to snacks because through the supplements brand, I learned more about contract manufacturing, about gummies, and that led me to the gummy candy. So like that's how like the whole puzzle came together with the
So it was a
current.
series of there's an expression that progress isn't linear. But it sounds like, over time you refined your techniques, you refined your processes, and you started really building the kind of, systems you wanted. Looking at HR Ventures, you do a whole lot with mergers and acquisitions and buying businesses. And people don't think about buying businesses like you just go to a place and buy a business and you own the business. What got you interested in that? Because that's not something that a lot of people really look towards.
Yeah, so that's kind of goes back to that series of ups and downs. So like when I had the affiliate business, it was primarily an upward trajectory with some dips, probably from like 2010 to like 2021. And then it started rapidly declining. Like I basically had a big client leave in 2021, and then a bunch of others kind of disappeared overnight, and it kind of the revenue went off a cliff. And in that period of turmoil, I was like frantically trying to like steer the ship and find solid ground, so to speak. So like, okay, what should I do when I launch this product, test that idea, partner up with this person? And a lot of things kind of failed, and the acquisitions came on my radar also through a friend who was struggling in his business, and he basically said, well, we're struggling trying to build something from zero to one. Why don't we,
Team up.
team up and take this course about business building? So, like, essentially, sorry, business buying. Essentially, that's when it was probably 2022, 2023, when these like acquisition entrepreneur influencers started to pop up. And essentially, like, I bought a book, he bought a book, then you see somebody on Instagram, and you watch a YouTube video. Long story shortly, I went through like a boot camp. Actually, there was like several military members in the cohort. There was like one guy from the SEAL teams, one from the Air Force, I think one from the Marine Corps, and then myself. I think it was four. Like, I was seriously looking for a business to acquire for about 18 months. So
No.
I didn't end up acquiring any meaningful businesses. So like, I did acquire a small Amazon brand, which was kind of the precursor to the supplement brand that I described earlier. It was kind of like a small website off of Flippa, like very simple, very small transaction. But I did go through the steps of like doing due diligence and negotiating the deal, but it wasn't like a major acquisition. I did look for a major one and ended up starting Tactical Snacks in the process of that. There's a little backstory, but
I guess my immediate question would be, when you look at a business now, based on what you've known, and you haven't done this for a year or two, you have like a good 15 to 20 years of working in business. In your mind, what's a good business to acquire? What are you looking for?
So again, take it with a grain of salt, because outside of that one small Amazon acquisition, I haven't really done one per se. I've looked at a lot of deals. I've submitted bids for several, and none of them, basically I was outbid. What I was looking for was probably more of what I don't want rather than what I want, because you kind of, after working for a few years in certain industries, you kind of know where the skeletons are. And I was looking at businesses in those industries, like e-commerce, marketing agency, software. So like, I kind of knew what I didn't want rather than what I wanted. There was some criteria around size and revenue and customer concentration and all that. There's like, usually after you read one or two of these books or courses, like, there's criteria about like, what's the location? Is it location independent or is it remote? What's the business size? And what is the industry? Those are typically like the big three. And then there's like others about like, you don't want a lot of customer concentration. You may want some sort of recurring or reoccurring revenue as opposed to a one-time project. Again, not always, but as a rule of thumb, that's what people want. But then as time passes, everybody kind of starts to refine their criteria based on what they learn. So like, it's sort of individual to your skills, your appetite for risk and also like your financial capabilities. One thing that I realize is that kind of the bigger the business, the better the business it typically tends to be.
Oh, really?
Smaller businesses tend to be more like it's really a job where the founder is the business. So that's probably very hard to step into as opposed to somewhere where there are systems and teams in place, but they'll also probably like more expensive, more capital intensive deal. But yeah, like we can probably go on for a while down that rabbit hole, but essentially, yeah, like I can't say that I saw something that it was like, that's it. This is the one. There's always something like, so like it's never going to be perfect. There's also going to be trade-offs. Like maybe the location is going to be farther away, or maybe the price is going to be a little bit higher, or maybe there's going to be more work because the team isn't fully staffed. So yeah, like essentially, everybody will have their own set of criteria of what they're looking for, and then they will refine it with time.
So at this stage in your career and your life, you've retired from the military, you're a veteran, and you're working in these areas. Would you say that, technical snacks and that kind of thing is taking more of your time and you're putting more energy to it? Or is H hour adventures, or is it a balancing act, or is one more focused than the other?
So I'm glad you brought it up because for years up until 2024, I had the proverbial entrepreneurial shiny object syndrome, the balancing act. I always had like two or three irons in the fire. And this is really the first time in my life that I focused on one thing. Like a lot of business advice goes is like focus on one thing, focus on one course of action until success. Like that's one interpretation of the word as an acronym. But essentially, yeah, like this is really for the first time that I'm trying this, like just go all in on one thing and like give it a solid 100% for a long enough period of time to see it through, or to the point where you can say, you know what, I gave it my all and it didn't work. So yeah, but up until 2024, it was like I'm doing this and that. I'm running an agency and I'm running e-commerce, and I also want to launch a course, and I want to speak at events, and list goes on and on and on. And that same thing was when I was studying finance, working a corporate job, and also serving in the military, climbing through the ranks.
So not necessarily a less is more kind of mindset, but hey, you know what? We're going to, pare away the unimportant things to focus on the main objective.
Yeah, like essentially the idea is that if you are 100% committed to one thing, you will outperform somebody whose like attention is split. It's like if you have a platoon of infantry soldiers trying to take the objective of a platoon size objective, like it's going to be unwise to try to take two objectives that each is a platoon size objective with just one platoon, right? It's gonna be very hard, almost impossible, unless you're like super lucky.
Well, Greg, I'm thinking of Napoleon right now, and right, Napoleon's claim to fame was he would figure out where the weak point was and where he wanted to attack, and he put all his troops at the weak point and send them all there. And to your point, more times than not, they were able to, affect the outcome they wanted. So, you're onto something there.
Yeah, like there's definitely that military analogy, or for like the non-military folks, what they usually say is when you have a magnifying glass, you can burn a hole through a piece of paper, but if you just bring the piece of paper out in the sun, it'll just get warm and nothing would happen. So, same idea. Again, like see me on the other side, talk to me in a year, like I'll tell you how it went. But it definitely helps calm down the mental chatter, if you will. So like on the mental health side, obviously, like especially when things aren't going well and you're trying to like catch every lifeline, it's like for a while I basically, I'm a pretty capable individual, right? But like I'm not afraid of hard things, but it actually became kind of hard, and to a point where like, okay, let me try to like do this the right way and calm down and focus on one thing. So yes, that's the current situation where I'm pursuing one thing for a period of time and giving it my all.
So I'm with Greg from Tactical Snacks. I met him at Military Career Con. Military Career Con is next May. Maybe you'll come, maybe you won't. I don't know right now. I'm not putting you on the spot, but let's just say, you have a year from now, give or take a few months. What's the plan or state you want to be in with Tactical Snacks over the next year?
That's another thing that it was sort of my New Year resolution for 2026 is to try to detach from outcome-based goals to process-based goals. What I mean by that is that like if you set a goal of like I'm gonna make $1 million and then you make 900,000 or maybe you make nothing, you're gonna be disappointed. But if your goal is to like, okay, I'm going to do the following things in order to make $1 million, and at the end of the year you say, okay, I did all of those things and I did them well, then you're going to be less disappointed even if you made nothing. So from that perspective, I think I'm not really putting any sort of like monetary goals or like I want to be in 1,000 retail stores or I want to have 5 million run rate or I want to sell 1 million snacks. I have a plan of I'm going to work on my Amazon presence. I'm going to work on getting onto a TikTok shop. I'm going to open a US corporation in order to like basically facilitate doing business in the United States. It opens a lot of doors having like, an actual like American corporation. And work on the retail presence. We are already in the talks with, I don't know if I'm at liberty to disclose, but basically we're kind of getting onboarded with the AFIS, the Army and Air
Oh,
Force
nice.
DXs. There's nothing on paper so far in terms of a purchase order, but at least we're getting into the system so that the buyer can find us if and when they decide to, put us in some doors. But that's something that's I'm really excited about for 2027. So those are probably the big three initiatives is Amazon, retail, and TikTok shop.
Okay, so hey, if I see you in Fort Worth next May, I hope to carve out some time to talk with you. In the meantime, and look, folks, if you're hungry, attack your hunger with Tactical Snacks. I'm going to work it up for you, Greg. A nice little voiceover clip for it. How can people discover Tactical Snacks and get connected with you and your offerings? Because yeah, there's the cookies and other things now.
Yeah, so if you want to follow the brand on socials, you just look for Tactical Snacks. I think the Tactical Snacks handle was taken by I'm not sure who, but so it's Tactical Snacks with an X in the end on most. So I think Instagram, TikTok, YouTube, and X, it's Tactical Snacks X, and then I think Facebook is the only place where it's Tactical Snacks without the X. If you want to try the product, it's tactical-snacks.com once again, because tactical snacks is one word was taken and they wanted quite a good chunk of change for it. Or on amazon.com if you're Prime member and want some faster shipping, but you can snag some sweet deals and some free swag on the website. There's some morale patches and t-shirts and stuff like that where you buy bundles and you get those as gifts. So hopefully in 2027 you'll find us at Army bases and Air Force bases and exchanges, but we'll see about that.
Well, I will have the links to all those in the Osmic Radio show post, Greg. And again, I'm a fan. I'm a huge fan. I mean, like I said, I was, narfing through Julie's and Alicia's bags to get their snacks, and I'm like, I gotta get more of this and find out more. And then there is a clip on his Instagram where I'm like, Tactical Snacks, attack your hunger, something like that, which was really funny. And I appreciate you, playing along, being a good sport. But again, This just, to me, magnifies the story of how veterans can get into different things and use their military experience to find, new ways to engage other veterans and other people. So I'm a big fan, and can't wait to see what you do in the future.
Thank you. And also thank you for, voicing, being the voice of the veteran community and bringing people together, making sure to remind them that they're not alone and there's somebody who's in their corner, who's got their back, who's got their six, and we're helping each other out. We're connecting and elevating at these events. So yeah, definitely the Military Creator Con is on my radar for next year if the schedule allows. But yeah, thank you for hosting me here today.
Absolutely, absolutely. Ladies and gentlemen, Greg Potapinko, Canadian veteran, business owner, and again, his new venture, Tactical Snacks. I'll have all the links. Greg, thank you very much. As we say in Oscar Mike Radio, we are Mission in Flight.
Every generation, every sacrifice, our nation's service members have stood up for our freedom, our families, and our future. Now it's our turn to stand up for them. This year, you can honor their service in a deeply personal way by sponsoring a $17 Veterans Wreath. Each wreath is more than a symbol. It's a heartfelt tribute to the heroes who served and to the families who carry their legacy. Visit wreathsacrossamerica.org to sponsor a wreath today. This isn't just a wreath. It's a personal gift to an American hero.
Thank you for listening and watching Oscar Mike Radio, where our active duty service members and veterans are in action and the mission is in flight. Oscar Mike Radio is an Oversized Load Coast Sinister One production. If you are a veteran or know a veteran who needs help, please dial 988 and press 1 for the Veterans Crisis Line.